Welcome to Keep the Hotel Empty. Today we've kept the hotel empty to welcome back our friend Brandon Crook and his counterpart James from Best Life Productions. Brandon and James, welcome.
Oh yeah, thank you
for having us.
Yeah, man, I'm so stoked to have you guys back. You're K the family by all extension by having been here yourselves and your connection to Fiends and all the other bands that we've had on the show that you guys have photographed. So it's good to have you back and
super cool
tying the room together.
Yeah.
So yeah. I know you've been doing a lot over the last year, a lot of traveling, a lot of bands, but what I want to start with is kind of where we left off. You were just starting to get some of the moving parts of your going out to film concerts and things together. Talk to me a little bit about the stride that your business has gotten into since we last talked.
Yeah, so last time we talked, we were talking about just how I was taking pictures and stuff. And then I wanted to kind of start doing more and more with Best Life
because right.
I had just finished working with this one company, and I was like, okay, I want to just start my own thing and just really hone in on that. So that's what we did this year, and brought James into it like late last year, and so he started shooting the set videos. Like, so he'll do video at a show, and I'll do pictures primarily, or. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we'll flip flop and just practice at school. So
are you still doing the sporting stuff at all?
Mm-mm. No.
No.
Not at all. That was a separate business just to kind of like keep us busy and all that. But yeah.
The boss did actually reach out to me a few times recently. Like actually like earlier this week. He's like, "Are you free this weekend?" I was like,
We were thinking about it.
But. Yeah, he still hits me up every now and then, but it's always weekends, and that's when we're working.
Busy, so.
That's when most concerts are.
The duality of
right.
You know?
Yeah.
So talk to me a little bit about when you guys first start taking off together. What was some of the stuff that you first started doing? It would have been right after we spoke last year, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, so... yes. So before I started shooting, like, Brandon and I just kind of got into, like, the... like music scene in Orlando, and he was taking pictures, and I thought it was really cool. He takes great pictures, and he kind of shared with me his idea with like Best Life and what he wants to do with it, and I thought it was really cool, and I was on board right away.
Nice.
I tried out shooting a full set.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. I was like, "Yo, James, you should come to this concert with me." He's like, "I'm not feeling it today." And then, like, the scariest hardcore show that you could ever imagine going to. It was December 29th at Will's Pub. Testament of Hate was headlining. It was, like, it was just straight, like, craziness, right? And James was like, "Sure, I'll go. I'll film that one."
I had no idea what
he
was in
no
for.
Clue what he was in for. It was
first
stage
hardcore
diving,
show.
Just crazy mosh moves, and it was, like...
Yeah, I was like,
you gotta have your head on a swivel on those ones.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And then, like, a couple weeks later, we were shooting for Boy Scout, which is, like, an indie band. So it's like, we shoot pretty much any genre of music.
Right.
We like to keep it that way just because, you know, not everybody solely listens to one genre. Everybody, even if you don't want to admit it, you're going to be listening to more than one genre. Like,
mm-hmm.
there's going to be people who listen to, like, reggae, but they're in a metal band, you know? There's
right.
going to be people that listen to indie, but they're in, like, a folk band, and you're like, "Whoa, that's interesting." So,
how does it keep it interesting for you guys having different subject matter like that?
Well, just the variety. Because you go from something super aggressive where you're like, "Ooh, try not to die," and then you go over to something super, super, like, light and mellow, and you're like, "Wow, this is a very nice little, like, break almost. Just get to shoot, relax, and enjoy the music." It's a lot of fun.
Well, one thing I want to do that we normally do, but we didn't start that way. We got to press rewind. Talk to me a little bit, James. I know we got to talk to Brandon in the last one, how he got into this. But how did you start getting into filming or taking pictures or any of this making media in the first place? Was it just a matter of being inspired by Brandon, or you had some idea you were going to do this?
Like, I've always been into, like, camera work and, like, making videos and taking pictures. And I was going to school for finance, and I knew, like, I didn't really enjoy it. And I always dreamt of, like just doing camera work, making videos and stuff. And when I shot that hardcore show, like my first show, I was like, holy shit, like, this is so cool. This is
and
a lot
that was
of fun.
Your first experience doing that period?
Yeah. Yeah, and, like, just, like, the energy of the room and, like, the craziness and...
It was a crazy night.
Like, it gets your adrenaline going. It's mm-hmm. And it's a lot of fun, in my opinion.
The drive back home is always, like... Okay, we just did that, dude. Yeah. Like,
that was good.
Huge
and survived it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and what was some of the things that you learned right out of the gate? Did you give him any instruction? Hey, you might not want to do X, Y, Z. Hey, watch out for this. Or did you just say, here's your camera, pointed at the action and go?
Yeah, he's kind
of a little bit of both. I wanted to kind of throw him out there, but at the same time, give him enough knowledge so that he wasn't too like in the blue, you know, like just. Like, oh, what should I be filming? Like, should I do the crowd? Should I do this? I was like, keep it a good even, like, you know.
Like, change the angle every now and then, like, film different things. If you see something crazy in the pit, like, move the camera towards the pit, get that. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I was doing that. And I remember he was telling me, like, do not go in the mosh pit. You will get, hurt. The camera will get broken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's actually happened a few times.
A couple.
Like, being on, like, the outside of the mosh pit. Like, there was this one time. The first time I got, like, rocked in the pit.
Oh,
I was, like, I kind of, like, moved towards the pit. I was, like, filming it. And I wasn't even looking at the camera. I was, like, looking up at the pit, making sure no one's, like, going to come at me and hit me. And then I looked down at the screen for 1 second. And in the little screen, I see this guy doing a front handspring at me. kicks the camera into my face. Like, I bust my lip. I was bleeding out of my lip, out of my nose, and the lens broke on that camera.
Yeah.
And that was a good lesson I learned that day.
Yeah.
Did you have the footage up to that point, though?
Yeah.
You got to use it up to that point?
Yeah.
Nice.
You got it, and then it just cuts for a split second, and then it's back.
Yeah, you just see the guy, his foot come up at the camera. It was really funny.
That's the wide world of sports right there. Mm-hmm. So what were you thinking? Were you thinking that, oh, my God, this is the way this is going to be? Or were you like, this must be one-off?
Like
when you go to this first show and it's this hardcore show, was that what you had in your mind when you were like, hey, I want to record bands, I want to film bands?
Yeah, it was like just like how fun it was. Like, I was like, yeah, I want to keep doing this, not just like in hardcore, but
it
was just
so
crazy. You
see me come to some shows, and then I went to a couple hardcore shows at the spot before it was like the big spot, and I was like, wow, this is a crazy scene. And then I was like, James, you got to come with me. You got to see this. And he was like, no, I'll do it another time. Like, I'll go next time, you know? And then next time was just pure mayhem. Mm-hmm. And he pulled up.
Fell in love.
How regularly from that point, I mean, you guys, did you start filming, like, making media, like, every weekend at that? Did you jump into it full force? Or how
Pretty
did you get
much,
the ball rolling?
Yeah. Full force, yeah. Like, we did that, and I think that was 5 or 6 bands. We got all those up, and then next weekend we were shooting another show.
Yeah, we would just
next
like
day another show. Weekend
we
after.
Just like pull up to Will's every weekend.
Yeah.
It was mostly Will's in the beginning.
Yeah, first it was
pub.
A lot of Will's pub,
it's like Stardust,
and I would say the spot too. But we started going to the spot more later. Like,
yeah,
to get more and more of like the heavier scene, which is cool.
And for the people who are like just starting to come up doing this or want to do this, was it primarily certain clubs because you had relationships with those clubs, you knew you could go there or film anybody, or it was just that the bands that they drew, you knew you could go there? What made you have those first jump off points?
Honestly, we've been to Will's Pub a couple times and we really liked it there. It's just like a great spot for shows.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of great bands come out to Will's.
That's like where, if you're like a big touring band, you're going to Will's compared to like any of the smaller venues. Like if you can't get the Beecham or like a bigger venue in Orlando.
I'd say Will's Pub is like the biggest, like
it's
smaller
like the biggest
venue.
Underground, if you want to call it that.
If you will.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
So when you were first starting out, did you approach them and say, hey, we want to come every weekend? Or did you just show up and say, hey, to the bands, yo, we're here?
We would just either talk to the bands like the day of, be like, hey, y'all want full set video and pics? Or I would DM the bands and then be like, hey, can we get guest list, media pass, something? And then after a couple bands, and then after a couple weeks, people started kind of like recognizing us, knowing us a little better. And then they were like, oh yeah, you could come film our show this day, or come over here and we'll get you in, whatever. So it was definitely I don't want to say come up, but like a gradual incline of like, oh, this is what it is. Like, these are the guys that we want to shoot our stuff. And I'm very glad people want us to shoot their stuff, you know?
Yeah, and that brings up a good question. We are in a time now where when you go to a show, everyone is taking pictures.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Even with phones, like, there's people taking pictures on phones, people with cameras, people with digital cameras, people with small cameras, like any sort of camera you'll see. Mm-hmm. And yeah, somehow we just have to persevere. And
well, it is a crowded pond, you know, because everybody can do it, but there are still people, and maybe this dates me a little bit, but like Ross Halpern and like some of the classic concert photographers who have their own style and will be forever synonymous with the pictures they took of certain artists.
Yeah.
Are there things you guys think of, or are there ways that you try to strategize ahead of time, things you can do to help your product stand apart, pictures that make it so it looks like Best Life did it, even if they can't recognize that it was the two of you?
Yeah. So we shoot with super wide angles, so that kind of sets us apart from everybody else.
That's kind of like our staples, like the fisheye lens captures like everything.
Mm-hmm. It'd be like you could see probably from here to where even the cameras are. So it's like almost a 180 like plane of view, and so you could shoot the whole band. You could get the band and the crowd. You could get whatever you want, really. I've seen a lot of people use the fisheyes, but it's not the same, if that makes sense. Because we like to have a lot of light and a lot of color and all that kind of stuff in our photos. That way it just like jumps and pops and whatever. So I think that sets us apart, but I don't know. What about
definitely
with the set videos too? We shoot wide angles, so.
Did you have inspiration for that stuff, or was it just a trial and error thing?
Well, I've been shooting shows for a while, and I'm always kind of towards the front. And when I have like a longer range camera, I'm like, man, it would be so cool to like if I could just take a pic from right here, you know?
Right.
And so I just thought, wider, you know, I could shoot from right here, and I could still get the picture like even better, even. And
yeah, you know? Could be like right here and get like the full body in the picture.
Yeah.
So it was just a matter of that was a way to make the disposition of your location make
pretty
your photographs
much
convenient?
Yeah.
It wasn't like, yo, we saw a skate video or a Busta Rhymes video, and we were like, dude, let's do that.
I would say the skate videos did help with that, because I shot Tampa Pro a couple years back, and I only had a wide-angle attachment, so it was like a screw-on thing. And I was like, man, if only I had like just a little more range. That way I could get closer to the like guy airing over the coping or whatever.
Right.
So it's just, you know, a little bit of everything here and there. Just seeing something here, seeing something there, and then kind of putting it all together.
That thus is the trick. Boom. So I know last time we had spoke, you said something that struck me, and when I've talked about our interview to other people, this is the one I always bring up. You said that you don't Photoshop your stuff, you don't correct your stuff. Are you still on that tip?
Pretty much, yeah. Like the most I'll do now is, like, for example, we were in Atlanta
last week
shooting Zulu.
Oh, I saw that.
That was very cool. Awesome, yeah. But I took a picture and we were in the pit, and all I could see is just the cement on the ground from the pit, and I'm like, oh man, the crowd looks cool, Zulu looks great. But I don't like how bright this pit is because there's nobody here, like in the photo pit. And so what I did, I just took a mask and I like drew on it and then just brought the exposure down. So it's like that's the most.
It wasn't really like doctoring the content of the photo so much as it was the extraneous crap.
Yeah, I still just mainly do exposure, aperture, or exposure highlights and shadows sometimes. And that's really my my cookbook secret recipe.
You know? Yeah, and I know in still photography you can get away with that a little bit more because you can have, I guess, more of an artistic license, so to speak. Do you take a similar approach with video, or since video is so ubiquitous now, you got to dress it up a little bit?
Yeah, we do it a little differently. I mean,
it's pretty much the same.
Yeah. What is it? To like brighten it.
Just the exposure. Yeah.
Yeah, just the exposure and what else?
So what's the ethos behind not trying to make it look like a magazine shot or a cinema?
Well, I would say it just gives it that look, it gives it a real feel, like you were there, kind of, you know? Like, I'd rather watch a video of, like, someone who was at the show front row than if it was, like, fully produced. Like, I mean, sure, fully produced stuff is awesome and it looks great.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like, you don't feel like... Like, you can see when James gets hit in the pit. Like, you can see the camera move when he gets, like, pushed around or...
Yeah, like, I feel like it gives, like, the viewers, like, more of a sense of, like, actually being there rather than, like, watching a video about it. It's, like, what you would see, you know? It's, like, not overly edited. Like, the colors aren't, like, edited to be, like...
Yeah, because we've all seen the pictures where it's, like... It's a show and the guy's blue and the background is like red and you're like, oh, that's a cool pic, but
yeah,
like that's not what you would
that's
see.
Not what it looked like.
It's just a cool picture.
So do you look at it as the difference between creating like media for a product, like as a product, as an advertisement, in your case bands can use these photos to promote, and more looking at it as your own project you're creating? Because, I mean, at some point you have to kind of walk the line, I'm guessing, or maybe explain to me this. When you're going to get gigs for bands or things where there's a creative element involved, how do you walk the line between knowing you're capturing something that will be useful for the people you're capturing it for and something that you find interesting and expressive and artistically fulfilling for you?
Right. So fulfilling for me is it's good... I like to get the full set videos and everything just because it's in a way it's just documenting like history in it. Like no two sets are the same, no two crowds are the same. So it's like even if we're doing a tour with the same set list in each city, all those shows are gonna be different. Whether the crowd is rowdy at one and mellow at another, or if the vocalist like messes up or something at one show and then he's like, oh, the next show is beautiful. So it's like they can just pick and choose what they want from our content and like use it wherever they want, whenever. So like pictures I've seen on Instagram, I've seen on Spotify, I've seen on YouTube even, and then like videos I've seen it just scattered. So it's...
So you kind of more take the line of thinking that if we capture the entire set, there'll be something in there they can use and it will still be fulfilling for us?
Yeah. And absolutely. Then even like, let's say we get a really good set video, like Fleshwater per se.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take the full set video and then we'll condense it down into like a 30-second, 1-minute edit of just like highlights. Or like a little... like mosh pit reel something.
Yeah. Something that puts people there.
Yeah. Something that just kind of showcases the talent behind the band or whoever's performing.
So in this world where there are a zillion bands playing a zillion shows and a zillion photographers taking pictures and taking video, what do you think are some of the things that your video and your photography really do to help these bands? When you're taking these pictures and you're doing this stuff, what are you thinking this is really how you're going to add to the party?
Well, a lot of times I feel like people don't get like a full set video, like especially these smaller like local bands. Like you'll see them play and then they'll be like, oh man, did anyone get videos?
Right.
And then you just see like 10-15 seconds on somebody's Instagram story and you're like, huh, oh, we sound okay. But then once you can go through and it's like watching a football game. Like if you're in high school playing football and coach is filming at the top of the stands and you watch that back, you can go in and you can be like, oh, this is what we did wrong, this is what we need to fix, this is the game plan now. And I've had people text me, like the other day Jimmy texted me like, hey man, can we watch this over like it's a football game? Like, where's the video? Because we were traveling, unfortunately, so.
So sometimes it isn't really a matter of where these go publicly as it is documentation for the people involved.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of people are really, really just grateful that they get to see themselves doing what they do from not their own perspective. Because right. it's like I'm sure I'm not like a musician by any means. But if I was up on stage playing the guitar the whole time, I'd want to see what I sounded like and even looked like. Like, I don't know.
Definitely. And also, like, people in the crowd, they like to see themselves mm-hmm. on video.
That's true.
Like, going crazy stage diving and stuff. And
yeah.
Moshing and all that.
Yeah, well, that's become quite a thing recently, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So talk to me a little bit about, well, let's sidetrack a little bit. Talk to me a little bit about some of the differences in some of these scenes that you've seen. Whoa. Change in the last year that have made it more participatory and people really getting into it and people wanting to see themselves be a part of it, because I think that's really what it is. It's like, look, there's me being a part of it.
Yeah. So it's like the scene is like it's a culture or whatever you want to call it, and more people are hearing about it and they're seeing themselves in these pictures and videos and whatnot, and then I guess they could show their friends and then their friends are like, what? Where am I?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to be there.
And so then we're at this show. James is filming. The mosh pit is about to get going. Give us content. Come on. You know?
Yeah.
And then everybody goes crazy. I don't know.
So. Mm-hmm. Have you seen some of that become more so in the last year? Because
oh,
you,
for sure, yeah.
I was going to
yeah.
say, because you weren't working, you weren't taking pictures this regularly mm-mm. when we last spoke, yeah? We're just starting to.
Yeah, we were doing it regularly, but just not of shows. So it was.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, it was just like now that we really honed in on all these shows, we can kind of like pick and see like, okay, we know this is gonna be good. We know this is gonna be good. This one is okay, but this one is the one we want to go to tonight. You know, like it's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about some of the things you've learned and been able to use from when you were doing the sporting events and things like that to now when you're just capturing musicians primarily. What are some of the things that you found to be similar, and what are some of the things that are big difference?
That's a good one.
A big difference is we never shot with like fisheye mm-hmm. at the soccer tournaments.
Yeah, we were always like, shooting like regular lenses. Yeah,
and shooting with fisheye is like a lot different from like a normal lens.
Yeah.
So one of the big differences, you can impart some of your own creativity mm-hmm. now.
Yeah. Yeah. And like the editing process is different.
For sure. A lot and, like, less copy paste and a lot more just feeling it out, you know?
Yeah. And also shooting in like the daytime outside is a lot different from shooting inside a dark venue.
Right.
Just with like some like neon, like just colorful lights in the background
mm-hmm.
and stuff.
Did any of that experience with the athletic stuff have you primed to capture the moment? Do you think that you were a little bit more practiced at that? Or that was just a constant camera rolling thing?
Sometimes I feel like when I would shoot, like if I had to do like some solo photos of a player,
mm-hmm.
I'd watch, and then you can kind of see when they're going to like run and get the ball or whatever, so you can kind of ready up.
Yeah.
But it's so much different at a show, because it's like you'd have to know the music, you have to know this, you have to know that.
Right.
And you kind of have to get mannerisms from the people you watch like their first song, and then you're like, okay, if he starts moving like this, he's going to do this. Like maybe do a kick or something, and
mm-hmm.
and so it's really just about watching everything. You just I just yeah. observe. And
I remember like during the soccer tournaments, sometimes we'd have like a video team. I never like did video; I only did pictures at the time. But sometimes we'd have people come out and do videos, and like watching them like capture like highlights and like cool moments and like goals and stuff. Like that was like a really like big part of it. And I like think it's the same with like concert videography, like capturing like all the cool stuff, like all the
like, moments.
All the moments. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was like very similar.
Do you ever sometimes get those feelings like you're not actually at the show until someone crashes into you? Like you're just looking through your camera, you're just like this fly on the wall, and then all of a sudden it becomes real? Or are you like always conscious of the fact?
Sometimes I get like lost in the camera.
The
I'm just like hyper focused on like working the camera, and like for example, like the mosh will like push a bunch of people and they'll like domino effect and like hit me. And I'm like, oh, wait, I'm still here. I'm not like, I'm not invincible here. I gotta.
That's true.
Like, be aware of my surroundings more.
Sometimes I just get too wrapped in the music and I'll just be like, yeah. And then I'll be like, oh, I gotta take pictures. What am I doing?
Sometimes he'll like, he'll just like jump into the mosh with his camera, like have his camera up in the air, just like pushing people and like having fun.
Gotta have fun.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Definitely. And that comes out in the pictures too.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So you start, once you start doing some little more shows more regularly, you did start to go on tour with bands, yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the first one of those? Was that with Fiends?
First tour, I think, was with Fiends. First full tour, I would say together, was with Fiends.
Yeah.
First tour for me was also with Fiends, like last year or the year before. And, but we've jumped onto like, the Florida leg of a couple tours. So like when Slater came through, we shot him in Jacksonville, Miami, Tampa, and Orlando. So we just got all his Florida shows, and then he went back across the U.S. somewhere. But
yeah.
So what was tour like the first time you went out? The first time you went out together
with. It was like. So we had already traveled the country together with that job last year.
Oh, right.
Or the year before. So we were like, oh, man. New, like, purpose, same kind of feeling. You know?
Just on the road, driving on those same, like, interstate roads, but for a different purpose.
And that had to be kind of trippy, huh?
Yeah, for sure.
And it definitely reminded me of, like, the sporting stuff, driving the country.
Yeah. I forgot what I was going to say, but it's okay.
So what was that like? I mean, were you thinking at that point, okay, this is it. We're definitely going the right direction now.
Yeah, I was feeling that because it's just like, oh man, I feel so cool. I'm going to this show, you know, and they're letting me in. I'm going to take pictures. I'm in a different state. Yeah. You know, this isn't my area. I'm brand new out here.
Yeah, we drove out to like North Carolina.
Yeah, we've been to... So far, to shoot shows, we've been to North Carolina, Tennessee.
Yeah, we counted them last night. It was 16
Alabama,
states, I think.
Florida, and then Arizona. Arizona's random, but yeah.
We drove through 16 states. That was it.
So how do you get these gigs? And the reason why I ask is because there's a lot of people, or I shouldn't say a lot, but there's definitely a fair amount of people out there that want to take their photography and videography and media content capturing to the next level like you guys have. So how was some of the ways that you did that initially?
Oh, man.
Just straight cold calling? That's my question.
Essentially, I would just scroll
just
through
reaching
Instagram.
Reaching out on Instagram, yeah.
Scroll through Instagram. Oh, this show looks good. DM the artist. DM another artist. DM all the artists. You got to DM the openers. You got to DM management. You got to DM, like, everybody. And maybe one day, one of them will reach back to you, and you got it. And
they often do.
Often they do. But sometimes they don't. Sometimes they do.
Yeah.
And it's a win or lose, but mostly wins, I would say.
Yeah, I'd say
when
so.
You do that, do you send, like... just links along, or do you send sample photography? Do you send like a, or you just straight say, hey, I'm interested in taking pictures. Cool.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I'm like, hey, is it cool if we come through pictures in a full set video? And then that's it. And then
full
get
set
back.
Video is enticing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of what sells us to some people particularly, but I don't know. it's just kind of something.
Do you find that, I guess, how's the nice way to put this? Do you find that other people that try to do what you do are either, for want of a better way of putting it, trying too hard or putting their eggs in the wrong basket, and you guys are much benefiting by just putting out these cold calls and just taking your pictures raw and just doing your thing instead of trying so hard to clout chase, or doesn't that factor in much?
I don't think it factors in much because, like, a lot of these people that are doing what we do, they're all also very talented.
Right.
And so it's really hard, especially, like, once you, like, level out the playing field, it's always going to be, like, 5-10 top dogs in, like, whatever city you're in.
Right.
And you just kind of have to, like, maneuver your way around, if that makes sense, and, like, just kind of see what people might want or who, like, style is, like, I don't know. It's kind of hard. I kind of lost my train of thought. But.
Well, style is one thing. I mean, you guys have obviously got a niche doing hardcore stuff and things where there's a little bit more frenetic, kinetic energy going on.
Yeah.
But do you ever, like, purposefully seek out, like, things that seem like they'd be out of your wheelhouse? Or is it just a matter of your wheelhouse got plenty of stuff in it, we stick there for now?
I say we try to, like, diversify and get out there. Like, we'll shoot, like, shows like bands, like, their genres aren't, like, we don't normally or often shoot some genres, but
yeah,
we'll still,
like,
go out
we
and
went
do
to,
it.
We went to Florida Groves Festival and we were shooting like reggae and like Milky Chance and all these, like, artists that normally people would be like, sure, there would be some people that want to go and want to shoot, but I feel like a lot of people, at least in our scene, would be like, Milky Chance, aren't they that one TikTok song person or whatever?
Yeah,
and I'm
yeah.
like, sure, they might be, but hey, get them a full set video. Like, they're from Germany. Mm-hmm. When are they going to see Florida again, you know?
Good
point. Next festival, next whenever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And hey, maybe they really enjoyed this festival over a different show that they did here. So, hey, better to you know, let them relive that through a video than nothing at all, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had any, and I hate to bring this one up, but it just came to me. Have you ever had any, like, disaster moments where you shot a good show and you did everything all great and the card was not in the camera?
Close. Close. When we shot Narrowhead in Athens, Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
I took James's phone because it was before we had, like, any sort of audio stuff. So
you just recorded on my phone.
We were recording the voice memos. And put it in the back of the venue, but I never pressed record. So we only have the like mic at the front, and it's just like,
just straight ear rape. Like,
yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Well, that's not too bad of a disaster.
Not the worst, but
definitely not the worst. But we
still
were upset
kicked myself over it.
Yeah, like, it was upsetting.
Yeah.
Grabbing the phone, like, we didn't
no
record it.
Way. Yeah.
Dang. Well, and that's like one of our favorite bands too. So it was like a big deal for us shooting them. And we're like,
oh. But we got it in Birmingham. So that's like, I want to say that's like one of our best videos.
I think so too.
Yeah. That and then Fleshwater. Those are like our two, like, at least my favorites.
And honestly, those are both on YouTube?
Yeah.
We'll make sure we got links to those.
I think the second Arrowhead set that we didn't get audio for would have been like,
it would
the
have
better
been better
one.
One
you know, of course. Mm. That's the fish story, dude. The one that got away, bro. Was
exactly.
Yeah, but it's whatever. We still shot him.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that really matters.
Yeah.
So being a two-man crew can present its challenges. Not that me and Seth know anything about that. So what are some of the things that you guys do to help balance out each other and make sure that you don't have things like somebody forgot to press record, because inevitably you got to watch yourselves and watch each other. That's a lot in and of itself.
That's
what are
true.
Some of the things that you guys do to work better as a team?
So as a team, like, we'll try and get, so we'll start at the same side of the stage and we'll kind of like look at each other's cameras, make sure everything's set up and ready to go. And then we'll kind of separate and then kind of flip-flop. That way we're covering whatever it is. That way James has one POV, and it's a video, And then I have the same thing, but from the other side, and it's a picture. So that way it's like, if he gets something cool, then I'll get it from another angle. Yeah. And it won't be like the same angle, and it's like whatever, you know?
Yeah. And also like, help us like stay out of each other's way.
Yeah, that's true.
Like sometimes we'll try to like get around each other, like
especially because like, there can be a lot of media people at these shows. Like,
right,
there could be like 5, 6, 7, 8 photographers at the front row, and you're like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. What,
yeah,
you gotta. So how much of this did you develop innately just by doing the shit together, and how much did you sit down and strategize? I go here, you go there, and then we do this. 3, 2, 1 break. Like,
yeah, it all kind of
just came to us. We just kind of we never really discussed like a strategy per se for like our placements.
Just playing by ear, and as we progressed, we were like, oh, this works. This
like this makes the most sense.
This is the most like logical thing, and so sometimes we'll have to use sign language, like
like base coaches,
or like or signs random. We'll be like, yo, get that over there.
Yeah,
it's a big thing. Like, I'll be facing the stage, and then Brandon's like, bro, the pit. I'm like, oh.
This way?
Yeah.
Yeah. Try to keep my head on a swivel, though. Mm-hmm. I check the pit every now and then. But
I keep my eyes on him, because I feel like for him, he just has to stay locked in the whole time, versus pictures, it's kind of like, I can take a couple here, a couple there.
Right.
And then I can just keep my eyes on everything the whole time. So if I see something like that is like a little scary or whatever, like someone's getting a little too close to him, or like something is just not feeling the way I want it to, I'll be like, yo, bro, like push him or something.
Yeah. Sometimes he just pushes me. Like,
yo, you got the secret codes, one earlobe tap, one nose tap.
Yeah. We should make like signs like.
Yeah, like straight up,
mm-hmm. like something for the pit, something for like stage left, stage
secret
right.
Language. Next episode, we're gonna reveal it.
Hell yeah, awesome. So that actually made me think of something. If you're filming from one side and you're able to capture a still from a different angle on the other side, do you incorporate the stills ever into the video, or are they always two separate things?
Always two separate things, but sometimes we'll use the pictures for the thumbnail of the video.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So your video content is always straight up you and the camera.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And do you always, or I should say at this point, are you always doing one handheld source and that's it? So it's got that like POV type of feel?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For the set videos, yeah. Sometimes we have our friend Grayson, who's like part of our team. He has a high eight, like a handy cam. Like tape camera.
Cool.
And he'll be
filming the same set. Like, we'll both be on, like, opposite sides, and he gets it on, like the vintage, like, old-school-looking camera. And then
those are so cool.
And, like, we'll upload both sets.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, completely different feel.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, like, I never have done it yet, but I'm planning on eventually, like, putting them two into one and kind of editing them together. That way it would look... Like,
I definitely want to start doing that. That'd be really cool.
It would be very cool to just edit maybe another POV into it, you know?
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. What would you do? You want to try to hone what you're doing now, or do you want to try to expand on it?
Definitely expand on it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like if we expanded, it could get too big. Not like big as in like, oh dude, we're shooting Metallica.
Yeah.
I mean as in like we have 50 local small little shows that we're shooting every week.
Right.
You know, and it's just that's too big, and then there's a lot of editing and all that stuff that goes into it. So I don't know. But
yeah, talk to me a little bit about that, because anybody that creates content knows, or anybody that's in the sphere of it at all knows, that the editing portion of the show can be like tenfold the work of the first part.
Oh,
but
absolutely.
Since you guys kind of have a less is more ethos, how does your editing process, do you feel, compare to like editing hell everyone thinks about? Do you end up in editing hell even though you're doing less is more?
Yeah, sometimes. Like, sometimes we'll get really busy, like in a weekend, and we'll have like four sets at one show, and then the next day it's another four sets, and then the next day it's another four sets. So by Monday, you have 12 set videos just looming, looking at you, and you're like, oh.
You gotta go through that all
Yeah. And then and the show's pictures coming on up top next of weekend.
That. Yeah, and then the pictures on top of that. And
you'll get like 1,000, 2,000 pictures in a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, throw all that too. And
yeah,
it adds up.
So, how do you, what are some of the things you've done to streamline that process a little bit? I mean, a couple thousand photos is nothing to sneeze at, even if you just want to look through them.
Yeah.
And 12 hours of footage, if you're going to edit that down.
The footage is a lot easier because it's just one shot during the whole set.
And so, you always produce the whole set?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Every time. So,
yes, we just kind of throw that in the editing software.
And
like,
do our thing and then
add the, like, our logos, the band's logo, the outro.
Boom.
So really keeping it simple is part of the...
Keep it simple, stupid.
That's part of the magic in the sauce.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
So you don't want to stray away from that. You don't see yourself having, like, 8K cameras and, you know, a crew of 10 people.
Eventually, yeah. I think so. Especially because I feel like we're not always going to be, you know... I'm not going to say we're not going to always be doing full set videos because I think that that is like, I think it's really great. I like the full set videos, but I want to say we're going to stray away from some of the like smaller shows and try and go into like festivals or something. And then that's when we're going to need all our manpower. Like,
yeah,
we have so far, we have me, James, and then Grayson and Rylan. So shout out Grayson and Rylan, because those are the homies.
Heck yeah.
Rylan's one of our new roommates, so he lives with us, and we're roommates, so it's like we just got the BLP house kind of going on. Yeah.
Do you got the, for those that don't know, you got a name tag that says Best Life Productions that Brandon Thrift did that writing, right?
So yeah, Brandon Thrift drew it. That same style, actually.
Yeah, same font.
Yeah.
And you got that rug, is real?
Yeah, the rug is real. I didn't bring it, unfortunately. I left it in Orlando.
We meant to bring it.
But... You got it at your apartment door or whatever? Anybody walks in, knows where they're at?
Yeah, we're not, I don't know if we're going to put it on the floor, but
it's too nice to like for people to step on it. Like, you got to hang that up.
Roomy.rugs on Instagram, or Roomy Rugs. It's our friend Ethelyn from Orlando, and she's pretty great.
I was going to say, the thing looks really cool. It looks super cool.
It's great quality, too.
I got a good kick out of that when I saw it. I was like, there you go.
Yeah.
Keeping it up. So how much do you want to, I mean, I know you mentioned like you want to be doing festivals and bigger shows and things like that. Is your goal to, or I should say, would you rather be doing things like that where you can just kind of dip in for a weekend, do your thing and then go back? Or do you still want to go out and do tours and stuff like that? Or was that just like
For sure. I think we want to do everything. Like,
Definitely go out and do more tours.
Mm-hmm. I want to do like a full U.S. tour at some point.
Yeah, I just don't. I want to do a world tour.
World tour would be crazy.
Hell yeah!
One day,
I think maybe we'll set a goal for 2025 of having like a Europe tour or something
that
we can jump on. I hope, but we'll see. We'll see how it all rolls out.
Yeah. Well, you said Europe. I definitely want to ask you about your travels, but before we get there, I want to ask about somewhat maybe of a touchy subject and the thing I don't normally ask people about. Mm. You mentioned going on tours and you'd like to go out the cross country and all that. And everybody that knows anything about touring, especially now, knows that it's really expensive.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And the equipment that you guys have to use, even when you're using a small amount of equipment, still ain't no small dollar sign. Mm-hmm. We all know that. You still got to keep yourselves alive. You still got to be healthy. You still got to do all this.
Everything.
Okay. So how do you make the wheel go around monetarily? Where's the point where you can, I guess the more operative question I would like to ask is for people that are in your position that want to try to level up like you guys are. Mm-hmm. When you think about going to do a tour with a band, are you thinking about trying to ask for set amounts up front and you just got to live off that and produce the media off it? Or do you try to make your nut in this world based on the amount of content you provide?
Honestly, I think a set amount, if you don't know like what you're walking into, a set amount is pretty good. Just as long as it's not like absurd, like, yeah, $2,000, I'll shoot your show, whatever, you know.
Right.
Like, that's a little ridiculous. But like, if you go to a show, right, and let's just say you're a brand new photographer and you want to make some money, like, you could even go to a small little local show, pay $10 to get in, and be like, hey, I'm gonna be taking pictures tonight. Would you want me to take pictures? I'll do it for $15. I'll do it for $10. I'll do it for a t-shirt. You know, like, we've traded for merchandise. We've traded for for literally anything, like merch, stickers,
like
CDs.
Yeah.
Home cooked taco.
$50 somewhere. Like, I don't even know, but yeah, it's like, you can ask all these like openers, and they're all super nice, and they all want this stuff,
right?
Because it's like, how many times is an opener or like a smaller band gonna have like the opportunity to have like a professional photographer come in and take their picture and whatnot? And unless I know somebody, you know, which everybody knows somebody when it comes to photography,
right?
It's just like, you can do it. You can do it.
So it's just a matter of
getting out there, really.
Yeah.
Just putting yourself out there, showing people like what you do, showing people that you're good, showing people that you care, you know.
That was going to be the thing. I guess one of the things you got to show them you actually want to do it. You're passionate about doing it. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that help that come across, as opposed to the people that are just like, "Hey, I got a camera and I want to be cool too."
I will say, even when it comes to starting, sometimes doing stuff for free, that just shows that you're like you're not really in it for like the money per se, but you're in it for your passion or because you like it. Like, when I first started shooting shows, I wasn't charging anybody. I was just like doing it for the portfolio or for the Instagram,
right,
or just so that I could get my stuff looking good. That way I could have something that looks good by the time I want to, you know, sell it or whatever. And then
now that we have that portfolio built up, people ask us like, how much?
So then that's a good question for people who are up and coming in this. How long reasonably do you think one should take building up a portfolio? Some people kind of think that, you know, that sort of thing should happen quickly and they get discouraged.
Right.
And some people hang in and let their dream wither away on the vine. How'd it kind of work for you guys?
I don't think it's like a matter of time. It's just a matter of like getting a bunch of different things, like shooting different genres and like,
mm-hmm.
like once you like
having a variety is really
yeah. Once
great.
You like kind of get that variety, like we start with hardcore and then we shot like shoegaze bands and like rock bands and like indie bands, mm-hmm. reggae, like
when I started, I was shooting. I was just walking around my neighborhood taking pictures of bunnies, lizards, birds, whatever I saw. I was like, okay, picture, cool. And I just put it on my Instagram and then not think much of it. And then I moved into like my friends or whoever I was with. I would just take a picture, like be like, hey, let's do a photo shoot, whatever. And the pictures weren't all that great. They were just like, like, oh, here I am walking in the woods, whatever.
Right.
And then it just kind of expanded to sports, to smaller shows. And then as I kind of built it up with taking pictures wherever I was going, whatever I was doing, then that's when people really started seeing this, and they were like, oh, okay, this guy's kind of like got an eye or whatever. And from there, I just kind of just built and built and built on it. And I would post 3 pictures of each shoot I did on my Instagram, but I recently changed that. So it was just like 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. But I used to do like stack, 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 stack. That way you could just kind of get a vision of like everything, like the variety from cars to people to deer.
So it was really just a matter of, man, I'm taking a picture of everything till someone sees it.
Pretty much, yeah.
And that can take a long time to like get all that different stuff in your portfolio.
That's true.
Yeah.
So of those things, now that you've primarily focused on bands, do you still want to be shooting all this different subject matter, and the bands are just like what you're enjoying most right now, or is that something you're going to focus on and you're going to keep building in that area primarily?
I think we're going to keep building in this area because it's it's always moving. There's always new bands coming in, bands going, you know, there's always going to be like a market for it because music, I doubt it'll ever die out, you know? And sure, I love shooting nature, I love shooting people, but it's just not the same, like, satisfaction. At least for me, it's like, sure, I got these really cool pictures of somebody, but when I see it on, like, Spotify, I'm like, wow, I made it.
I did something.
Yeah.
I love shooting all sorts of different stuff, but, like, personally, I'm both of us, we just enjoy music a lot. Like, music's one of my favorite things in the world. Like, I listen to music every day. Like, it's just something I really enjoy, and I just love shooting it.
So it's like a doubling down of the passions. It's like where passions meet.
Music and photography.
And it's like I can't make good music. At least I haven't tried because
yeah, I was gonna say maybe you can.
Maybe I could. Maybe I'm a wizard on the guitar and I just never even picked it
secret
up.
Secret guitar
made,
wizard.
You've made a few bangers.
Oh yeah.
On some free YouTube beats.
Oh, that's true. But yeah. I'm not really musically inclined, so when I can see, like, the music and it's just like, oh, wow, like, these guys are really doing it like this. And then, like, hearing it on Spotify and then hearing it in person and it's, like, the same and you're like, whoa, I was listening to this song, like, last year. That's crazy. And now they're in front of me.
Right. Those are those moments where you can, like, feel that clicking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that made me curious, and I wanted to ask before, what was the first time, the first event you guys did together where you really felt like you were clicking, where it stopped being just you floating around, like when we talked last time, sticking up your camera and getting them wild, you know, in the moment shots, to now you guys are functioning as a team and it's just clicking and we're doing the damn thing. When you had one of those first car ride home where you're all adrenalined up.
I remember this one time. I think we were shooting Battle of the Bands at UCF. We were at UCF, and it was, like, after that show when I was, like, I love doing this so much. I want to keep doing this. I said something to you like that, like,
yeah.
I was having a hard time figuring out, like, what I want to do.
It was, like,
life. And
10
I was like,
bands, 10-minute sets.
And like, then, we had been doing it for a minute.
Maybe a month or two.
Yeah. And it was at that point I was like, yeah, I want to keep doing this. I want to, like, build this up and just put everything into it.
Yeah. And honestly, big shout out to all of our friends, because without our friends, we wouldn't be doing this stuff. Because we met at a skate park, like, two years ago.
August 2022.
Yeah, just completely randomly, like. I went to the skate park with one of my friends, and he was just there drawing in his sketchbook.
And I went with one of my friends.
He was with one of his friends.
My friend actually started talking to you guys, and then I came over. And
then after that, me and James clicked, and then...
Yeah. We lived 5 minutes from each other. We started hanging out, like, every day.
And now we live together, so it's kind of crazy.
Yeah,
it is.
We have a business together.
This was a question that I didn't anticipate asking the two of you, but I ask a lot of people this question, so here you go. You guys both just described a situation that people would say is coincidental. What was a coincidence we were at the skate park together? What was a coincidence that my friends talked? Do you believe in coincidence?
Oh, I would say so, yeah.
Yeah? I'd say so.
Yeah, I would say... It was a coincidence, for sure.
Or was it meant to be?
Yeah, that's
Oh.
Yeah, this is the operative thing.
Was it meant to be? Shoot, it might be.
I wonder if we didn't meet at the skate park, if we ever would have met.
There's an alternate timeline where you met in, like, a Del Taco in L.A. or something.
Or at a concert.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Interesting.
Yeah, we were talking about that kind of stuff yesterday on the drive. We were like, dude, like, what would happen? Like,
yeah, where would we be right
where
now?
Where would we be if we never went to that skate park, you know, or never did this, never did that?
Yeah. Right. Well, you guys have been in a building and growing since the meeting at the skate park then, I guess. Do you see Best Life as solely plan A, or is there, like, a Best Life plan B?
As of now, it's definitely just Best Life or bust. So
yeah,
that's pretty much the plan right now. But if it's not, I guess I'll go to college.
No, no, I didn't know. I mean, like, if you're going to start taking pictures for Bass Pro Shop or something instead.
I mean, shoot, Bass Pro Shop, let me know. I'll take pictures for you. But, yeah, I think if Best Life, like, let's say, oh, man, we're tired of all this stuff, that's why it's Best Life, because it's so broad. It could be whatever. It doesn't have to be just concerts. I wish it could be, like, just a little bit of everything. Like, a little bit of Nat Geo, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of Cool Channel, a little bit of... Yeah, who knows, you know?
Yeah, like, on the 9th, we're shooting a Red Bull event. You know Flugtag?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We got in contact with Red Bull, and they're having us come out and shoot that.
So. Where is that going to be at?
It's Tampa.
Yeah.
So. Oh, no way.
Yeah. Yeah, on the 9th.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I'm
I might have to try to get my. I love that. I think that's wild. Yeah. I love all the Red Bull stuff.
Yeah, you should check it out.
Yeah, Red Bull got their own record label, too.
Mm-hmm, Red Bull Records.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
True.
Shout out House of Protection. They're House on Red Bull Records.
Really? Mm.
Yeah, you might want to see if you can get involved with shooting some of their artists, since you're already going to be there.
Yeah, we'll try to work our magic at the event.
Yeah, you got nice complimentary style for it. Your pictures are renegade.
Yeah.
So what's the next step from here?
Next step from here.
You want to add more people or add more business?
Probably
a little bit of both.
A little bit of both. Yeah, we have Rylan and we have Grayson and we have Jace, but Jace is in Colorado right now. And,
in the military.
Yeah.
Because you're about as busy as two guys can be, yeah?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I don't know. We've been planning and, like, thinking and discussing just all of us, and we're just kind of sitting on what we got right now, and then maybe at the end of the year we'll like, think about it, see what we've done and all this kind of stuff. And
Do you ever take, like, those, like... I hate to say it, but like those rigidy moments where you have to think to yourself, yo, we're running a business here despite how much fun we're having. Maybe we got to think what we're going to do in 12 months, 18 months, da 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 da.
Yeah.
Or is the spontaneity just so much the fuel, just let it ride?
I feel like I let it ride a lot, but
we have been getting like more into like planning.
Yeah.
Like,
sometimes at night I'll just be awake.
Night.
I'm like, oh man. What am I going to be doing in a year? Like, where will I be 6 months from now even? Like, I don't even know. And I'm just like, oh, it's crazy.
But some of that's the beauty, though?
Yeah, for sure. I really like the surprise, the shock element.
Yeah.
But
I'd say, like, one of the next steps is just more planning and more...
For sure.
Networking, just, like, finding more stuff to shoot. Like, outside of, like, the music scene.
Mm-hmm.
Or even more stuff in the music scene.
Yeah, whatever. Vlogs.
Yeah.
Just behind the scenes, whatever.
Yeah, more vlogs. I want to do more vlogs.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. Talk to me a little bit about that. I'm kind of curious, just as an aside, you know, vlogs and blogs and all the nature. Those things were really big 15 years ago, whatever. Now it seems like all that stuff is kind of making some kind of resurgence. Talk to me about, like, do you do that kind of content, like vlog content, when you're on tour with these bands, or is it always just the shows?
Sometimes, like, we have vlogs that we just haven't edited because it's a lot of work. It's just time consuming.
Right.
And also, like,
we got the set videos, and then by the time we get around to having the vlog ready to be made, we got another set to shoot. So it's like, oh.
Yeah, I suppose at that point you could almost be doing like a Best Life reality TV show almost. You're doing your own BTS of everything you do.
Yeah.
You know, like how they did Warped Tour that one year when they took all the people and they filmed the reality show for Warped Tour.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever saw that, but it was like, you know, just the behind the scenes of traveling with the bands and the way life
rolls. I definitely want to start doing that more. One of our friends' bands from Orlando, Memory Well, I went to a show. I went by myself with them because we were...
Fort Lauderdale?
Yeah, Fort Lauderdale or like somewhere in Broward.
Yeah.
I filmed a vlog that day, just like traveling with them, going down to Fort Lauderdale, wherever, and just like all the behind-the-scenes stuff.
Yeah.
And Like, that was like the first vlog I ever did, and I had so much fun filming it, editing it, like the whole process. Like, I loved it, and I definitely like want to start doing that more.
Yeah, and people like, love watching that stuff. I'm, the I other know, day, yeah. thing, maybe.
Someone was all like, oh, dude, I love that video. Like, the editing was so awesome. Brandon, what'd you do? And then I was like, dude, he edited it. That was me.
I did nothing.
Yeah.
Worked out perfect.
Mm-hmm. I want to do a vlog for the for Flugtag, the Red Bull thing.
I think that's one of the things we're going to be doing for that. And then it's kind of funny. We're going to be, like, kind of on tour. Because 9 Million is a band that's coming through Florida, like, around the same time. So on the 8th, we got to be in Jacksonville with them. And then the 9th, we got to be in Tampa for Flugtag while they play in Miami. And then the 10th, we'll stay in Tampa, and then they'll be playing in Tampa. And then the 11th, we'll go to Tallahassee with them, and then back to Orlando.
So and then maybe on the 13th, you'll sleep.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Forget about sleeping in there.
Yeah, we could do a vlog with 9 Mil, like a separate one for Red Bull, then one with 9 Mil. That'd be fun.
Yeah, that'd be great. I mean, I love watching that kind of stuff because I like nerding out how people like you do what you do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's why I'm always grateful to have these conversations because I'm curious about what makes the wheel go around. So I want to shift gears just a little bit as we get closer to the end here. And Brandon, I want to talk to you about some of your travels. I know the last time we talked, you had just gotten back from Africa, and that was awesome. Yeah, that I liked those pictures a lot. Talk to me a little bit about some of the places you've been since then, because I know you've been all over the map. Maybe where you've been and maybe some of the places you guys have been together.
Yeah, so since then, we've been to like a bunch of the southeastern states.
Yeah.
And then California and Arizona. Cali was in the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Arizona's like the farthest out we went together.
Together for Best Life.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That was really awesome. We went to Tough Love Festival, and so we got to shoot like so many like awesome people. Like, we saw Jesus Peace, we saw 3-6 Mafia, we nice. Saw Lil Tracy,
City Morgue,
Joe, no way. Trauma Ray, Glare, like all these incredible bands.
And did you go there as press to do that, or did you just show up?
Yeah, we did that as press. So we got in contact somehow, and sure, we got media passes, and there we go. We shot it. It was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but so much fun.
Yeah, and then we got some of the Southeast. We did Fiends, we got some of Narrowhead, we got Fleshwater.
Modern Color,
a lot of great bands.
Yeah.
And then I went to Spain and Portugal with my mom, and that was really awesome. I'm half Colombian, so like I speak Spanish, so it was kind of cool just being able to see how Spanish people do, because it's like very different. They say vos, vas, vais, you know. Like,
yeah,
and I wasn't used to that, and like some words are different, and some things are like, it's just cool. I love
the King Spanish or whatever they call it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like to see different cultures and like different places, and like old places especially are really cool to me. I'm like, wow, this has been here since like 1400s. What?
Yeah, I know. We live in a country that's barely over 200.
I'm like, wow, 1800. Wow.
Yeah, right.
But then I go there, I'm like losing my mind. I'm like, what? So it's like 1200? I'm like, what?
So you take your camera when you go, yeah?
Yeah. This time I only shot on like a little red digital camera. I took my camera with me, but it never left my bag, cuz I didn't want to like
mix business and leather.
Kind of, in a way, but I also only had my fisheye on me, so I didn't know how I could shoot like a city
right
with the fisheye, because I would want to zoom, but
yeah, with no subject in the photo.
You live and you learn, right? You
gotta
take more than a fisheye with you when you're on tour.
For you photographers coming up, when you're gonna start your business, take more than a fisheye.
Yeah, make sure you have at least two lenses.
So how did those travels inspire you when you're taking other pictures, when you see these old things? How does this shape your view of the aesthetics of things?
I like symmetry, and I also like the like the rules kind of photography, like the rules of three and then like leading lines and all this kind of stuff. So it's like, if I can look at something and then picture like, okay, this would look really cool cropped and like, my bad, but this would look cool cropped and maybe askew or something because it would just make the lines pop or whatever. It kind of just gives me like a different sense of view on like the pictures I could be taking. Or if I go to a museum and I look at like a painting, I'm like, wow, that's a cool, like, that's a cool, like, structure of it. Like the way that they have it all just in this frame.
Right.
And it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, there's inspiration all around. That's mm-hmm. why I was curious about that. Do either of you, I think I know the answer to this, but do either of you have any formal training in this at all? Or is all of these things, like you're talking about the rules of threes and some of these things, all ideas that you've gleaned on your own? You did your own research, you YouTube University, found out from a friend, anything like that?
Self-taught experience, YouTube University.
YouTube you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a graduate, but... close.
Yeah. I gained a lot of knowledge from the soccer tournament job.
Yeah.
It's like cameras sure. and shooting.
I think just being around people that shoot also, or like, it just helps because you yeah, can be like, hey, man, do you know what's wrong with this? Or like yeah. how I could do something differently that maybe I haven't thought of before.
Yeah, we share ideas and techniques and all that.
Mm-hmm. So you do find, I guess let me ask you this. Do you think it's been more beneficial to you, the things that you've learned from people or the things that you've been able to just scrape from the internet?
I want to say it kind of comes in as a mix.
Ah.
Because I'll learn something from somebody and then watch a video of something else and then kind of use the two and just boom.
Make your own answer.
Mm-hmm.
Choose your own adventure.
Yeah. I'd say I get like more like formal training from YouTube University, like mm-hmm. like the like tech behind cameras and like
yeah, that's a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh Lord.
Like how does a camera see things?
Oh. Yeah, like that kind of stuff and like editing.
Crazy.
But
well, this is also a question that I like to ask a lot of people that are in creative fields, and this we're right on the tip of this one, so I'm going to ask. How do you balance your ideas that you have, taking the fisheye, all this natural creativity or innate ideas, I should say, and then balance them against the things you learn or the trial and errors you come across? Do you find that the things you learn curb your natural ideas, or your natural ideas just get enhanced when you learn these things?
I'd say it gets enhanced.
Yeah, I would say it enhances it because it's no secret that what I do, I'll do like a show, like a slow, long exposure shot, and then it'll make the lights all cool. And sure, people are giving that info away on YouTube, and I may have seen that.
Right.
But at the end of the day, until you apply it and until you do it yourself and see the way that it works, you're not gonna get the result that you want, maybe, you know, like
the result you want, maybe. I love
yeah.
that.
So it's really just like you live and you learn. Like you take a picture and then from there you just like adjust it a little bit and then see what it does and then boom. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that both of you live in a world where however you do it, there is no wrong answer?
Sometimes, but
yeah, I'd say so.
There could be a wrong answer, like blurry picture.
Yeah. I mean, short of not press and record.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we'll get you out of here on something fun. And I think this is what I asked you last time, but now we can get a little bit more a collective answer. What is your dream gig now that you're focused Ooh. More on doing bands and you've had a little bit more experience now? If you guys could now sculpt, and let's just say, what's your dream gig in the next year? Because I okay. know when we talk in the next year, it's going to be a whole nother step up from there.
Yeah,
so if you
yeah.
could do anything in the next year with Best Life, what would you guys want to do?
I want to say either Warped Tour Orlando or...
The resurgence of Warped Tour.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Or a Euro Tour. One of those two, those are dream gigs for sure, yeah, for next year. Like goals, I would say.
2025, going to see you at Warped Tour and going to see you overseas.
Mm-hmm. I hope so.
What are you thinking?
For me, I'd say like either Euro Tour or at least like a U.S. tour. Mm-hmm. Like I want to like go all around like a
like
country.
Proper be out for months.
Yeah, be out for like a whole month just shooting. Going nice. Around.
Any people we should think about? Like any bands, any artists that we would...
Deftones? I want to shoot them so bad.
Yeah, we'll say that'd the cool. Deftones Fleshwater, like their mm-hmm. new run that they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, they've got an Orlando stop, yeah?
They do.
Yeah, I want to go so bad.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's going to start DMing everybody up and down that ladder.
Yeah. A lot of DM Chino.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Everybody, man. Ain't nobody safe from the DMing.
Literally.
Awesome. Well, man, I think that would be great. I can't wait to see what 2025 holds. And now that we had Brandon Thrift here. We interviewed him exactly a year to the day from our first interview, totally unknowingly. And you, we got to be somewhere close to. So I think we're unknowingly setting up a tradition, I should say, right now, where we're going to get Brandon Thrift and then Brandon Crook every year. We're going to have to check in with the two of you once a year. We're going to have our annual Brandon check-ins.
That'll be awesome.
So
absolutely.
Hell yeah. Well,
and
Brandon,
maybe one day it'll be Brandon James.
Yeah,
sitting here.
We'll get everybody in
after
here.
A tour. We'll get Brandon and James from Fiends and Brandon and James from BLP.
There you go. We'll do a live
post tour.
Let's do it. We'll
next
do a live.
Tour. Yeah, I'm watching you, Brandon.
Yeah, everybody knows. On blast.
And one day with Rylan and Grayson too.
Oh yeah, maybe like, next year.
Get more.
That's who will be
more of the BLP team in here.
Yeah.
Oh, it's onward and upward on all fronts, gentlemen.
Oh yeah.
Well, Brandon, James, I can't thank you guys enough for coming down. I'm always grateful to hear from you. I'm so glad you were on the camera this time.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see what next year holds, gentlemen. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you for having us.
Oh, anytime, man.
Awesome.
It's truly an honor.
Hell yeah.